Penguin Random House Audio presents You Think It, I'll Say It by Curtis Sittenfeld. Read for you by Emily Rankin and Mark Deakins. For Susanna Daniel, Emily Miller, and Sheena M.J. Cook, my fellow writers and confidants. Gender Studies. Nell and Henry always said that they would wait until marriage was legal for everyone in America. And now this is the case. It's August 2015. But earlier in the week, Henry eloped with his graduate student, Bridget. Bridget is 23, moderately but not dramatically attractive. One of the few non-stereotypical aspects of the situation, Nell thinks, is Bridget's lack of dramatic attractiveness. And Henry and Bridget had been dating for 6 months. They began having an affair last winter when Henry and Nell were still together. Then in April, Henry moved out of the house he and Nell own and into Bridget's apartment. Nell and Henry had been a couple for 11 years. In the shuttle between the Kansas City airport and the hotel where Nell's weekend meetings will occur, the shuttle is a van, and she is its only passenger. A radio host and a guest are discussing the presidential candidacy of Donald Trump. The driver catches Nell's eye in the rearview mirror and says, "He's not afraid to speak his mind, huh? You gotta give him that." Nell makes a nonverbal sound to acknowledge that, in the most literal sense, she heard the comment. The driver says, "I never voted before, but he makes it all the way. Maybe I will. A tough businessman like that could go kick some butts in Washington." There was a time, up to and including the recent past, when Nell would have said something calm but repudiating in response, something professorial, or at least intended as such. Perhaps, "What is it about Trump's business record that you find most persuasive?" But now she thinks, "You're a moron." All she says is, "Interesting." Then she looks out the window, at the humidly overcast sky and the prairies behind ranch-style wooden fencing. Though she lives in Wisconsin, not so many states away, she has never been to Kansas City, or even to Missouri.
"I'm not a Republican," the driver says, "but I'm not a Democrat either, that's for sure. You wouldn't never catch me voting for shrillery."
He shudders, or mock shudders.
"If I was Bill, I'd cheat on her, too."
The driver appears to be in his early 20s, 15 or so years younger than Nell, with narrow shoulders on a tall frame over which he wears a shiny orange polo shirt. The van is also orange, and an orange ballpoint pen is set behind his right ear. He has nearly black hair that is combed back and looks wet, and the skin on his face is pale white and pockmarked. In the rearview mirror, he and Nell make eye contact again, and he says,
"I'm not sexist."
Nell says nothing.
"You married?"
he asks.
"No,"
she says.
"Boyfriend?"
"No," she says again, then immediately regrets it. He gave her two chances, and she failed to take either.
"Me, I'm divorced," he says. "Never getting wrapped up in that again. But I've got a 4-year-old, Lizette. Total daddy's girl. You have kids?"
"No." This she has no desire to lie about. Will he scold her? He doesn't. Instead, he asks,
"You a lawyer?"
She actually smiles.
"You mean like Hillary?"
"No, I'm a professor."
"A professor of what?"
"English." Now she is lying. She is a professor of gender and women's studies, but outside academia, it's often easier not to get into it. She pulls her phone from the jacket she's wearing because of how cold the air conditioning is and says, in a brisk tone, "I need to send an email." Instead, she checks to see how much longer it will take to get to the hotel. 22 minutes, apparently. The interruption works, and he doesn't try to talk to her again until they're downtown.